Super Cash.
Hey, Will, let me tell you about a black metal song.
Moliers.
Yes, thank you. There's a particular song in the heavy metal space where the lyrics, I think, in that case, in its case, do matter, right? So, like, isn't the perception of heavy metal sometimes, like, with all the unintelligible lyrics, that maybe the lyrics don't actually matter?
I mean, that's what I hear.
Yeah, like, more or less, right? Like, if it's screamed or guttural or growled, you can't really make out what they're saying. It's up to the listener to go to the book, right, to the pamphlet, mm-hmm. and read for themselves sometimes what the artist is saying.
So, do you think it's a majority of people in that space who, like, don't expect to dig into lyrics, or?
It's so hard to say. I think it's more than a lot. I mean, it's more, I don't know if it's more than 50%, but it's a lot. It's a lot of people who,
yeah,
for them, the emotion and the kind of the message of the music comes from the intensity or the variances in intensity that the vocalist might use in projecting their voice,
mm-hmm.
or the music itself and all of its varying intensities.
I mean, I know a lot of people go to those shows just to hear the, like, kind of dynamic guttural noises.
So, right, yeah.
So I don't know if that counts for lyrics. I guess in a way it does, but...
Sort of, yeah. But it... Yeah, that does, like, point at a misconception about harsh vocals, is that they're monotone or monolithic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's just one sound. Where what metalheads love to do is appreciate vocalists who can achieve a sound or a noise with their vocal cords that no one else can really replicate. That means there's, like, these layers or these dynamics of sounds they could make.
Yeah.
I'm surprised
there aren't more, like, classes or something on that. Like,
there are
people teach that?
Yeah. There are a couple, like, heavy metal vocal coaches that work on correctly projecting your voice harshly,
yeah.
so as not to damage your vocal cords over time, right?
I know that's a big thing in rock. Like,
yep.
A lot of rock Same. Artists, like, damage their vocal cords because they're just
yelling.
Screaming or
they're
yelling.
Yeah. Whereas it's not like the harsh kind of guttural growls of metal and rock. It's screaming, it's yelling, it's loud.
Mm-hmm.
Loud voice. Well, so you have that dynamic, of course. Then you have the lyrics themselves. And I wanted to share this particular song's lyrics with you, because I found them cinematic and fitting for the music itself, which is, as I would say, as close as you can get musically to, like, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, and it's Spectralore.
Spectralore. He's a black metal artist out of Greece. It's one of his many projects, but this is from the album 3, which came out in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I think considered probably to be his, like, biggest or most broad stroke, though he's a very dynamic artist and has created a lot of different styles of, I guess, mostly black metal, but also some other types too.
Yeah.
But specifically for this song and as part of this album as a whole story, this is, like, the climax. This is like the big song where the album sort of hits its peak intensity.
Would you call it, like, a single for the record, or?
This More record could never have a single. Yeah.
Okay.
It would be hard. Every song is, like, just like a chapter, you know. I guess the first song could be a single. Maybe it was.
And you said it's, like, 2001. Do you mean, like, what would you say the theme is? Like, is it, like, a futuristic, like, nihilistic look, or, like...
It's questioning. It's, like...
Okay.
I think the 2001 and the Space Odyssey, I wouldn't call it message, but, like, narrative, is one of unknowing and one of confusion sometimes.
Yeah.
But, like, one of, like, I don't know, opposing forces or opposing ideas that both might be true and that doesn't make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, ending that movie is very symbolic and makes you question, like, what's real, what's not. Yep. So the lyrics start, like the wind, I sweep through majestic landscapes, wandering lost among endless deserts, forests, deep seas, and high mountains. They rise glorious but melancholic around me, as if knowing their own impermanence, how small and insignificant they make me feel. I mean, right there you have the experience of, like, going to the Grand Canyon, for instance, and seeing how absolutely massive it is, and you feel mm-hmm. immensely tiny.
Yeah, that was kind of the thematic I was talking about, where it's like very visual, like, I don't know, there's not a lot of like, I guess, putting an opinion on it.
Right, right. He's not really telling you anything. He's basically just saying like how he feels.
Yeah, setting a scene, yep. Really.
Then time creeps in and I remember death, capital D death, and questions do not leave me. Why did the force organic molecule copy itself? Hey, buddy. Oh, he's coming.
Yep.
It's he's beans. On video. Hey, come here, buddy. You want to read some lyrics? Ah, yeah, you're doing so well. All right, we'll start. How did the first organic molecule copy itself? How did it think it could retain its consciousness that way, or hope that its offspring would someday escape mortality? Maybe through constant change and evolution. So now he's like almost being scientific. There's no rhymes. This is almost like him just going through like some mental questions.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating. He continues, Gaia screams and coils around me, the organic and inorganic in union, affecting and redefining each other. Is it complete that way, or still void as ourselves seeking for fulfillment? I see the pain and meaninglessness. I feel it deep inside. The cycle of renewal, the demise of individual existence is still one of tragedy. Why would we have attained consciousness if we were always supposed to adhere to the eternal law? So it's almost like our consciousness is if it's a gift, it's a damning one.
I kind of see it as like coming back to oneness.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't good or bad, I guess, but...
No, there's no real like... There's no real good or bad about it. In the singularity, like there's no good or bad. There's no polar opposites, right?
Yeah.
There's no paradigms or poles or any of that shit.
I mean, I think that's what he's saying here is like, why do we diverge from that?
Exactly. Why are we, as far as we know, the strangest things in the universe, right?
Yeah.
Or at least the most peculiar and complicated, as far as we can tell. As far as arrangements and atoms, I mean, he says, how does the first organic molecule copy itself? Like,
what do you think he means by eternal law here?
I think that of basically Darwinian theory, right? Like natural selection and the search for survival. The only reason that we exist or any idea exists for that matter is because it's geared itself to survive.
I wonder if I kind of read that as like, yeah, kind of going back to that same idea of like, if we're meant to live this way, it's kind of a tragedy. Like, why do we diverge from oneness to begin with? Which I guess is kind of what I said already, but.
That's what I like about these lyrics, and we'll finish them off in a second, but like, this is very black metal. This is very like big thinking. Like big picture sort of like, I mean, this is space black metal, but like cosmic ideas and like thinking big and grand about the meaning of life. Like,
but that's like a theme in black metal is to like take big ideas and
I think so.
Work through them.
I think being Homeric is sort of how I describe it. Like being all encompassing and like in your writing being like, not necessarily I know it all, but I'm questioning everything within context. Anything is on the table. Trying to see the whole world at once. We'll continue. Is my will opposite to that of the outer, or can we forge paths of harmony in between us? If I can dream, therefore I can transform. This is where the song, like the lyrics shift, right? We are warriors of the universe. We are here for a reason. I believe it wants us to change it. It wants us to evolve ourselves than our surroundings. But how, in what direction? Where is right and wrong in the cosmic scale? Right? Is it good? Is it enough to be quote unquote good human beings? Or is this feat of such unimaginable difficulty that every human must absolutely surpass the limits of one existence toward greater and greater understanding, complexity, continuity, fulfillment? He ends, in a great mission to defeat gravity, to liberate once and forever all existence from the cycle of birth and death, bang and crunch, to extend into all dimensions, physical and temporal, right? So
I think he is taking a stance here. I think he is arguing for like singularity.
Exactly. This is where he's like pivoting and saying there's actually a point, right?
I think he's arguing for the point to be singularity, like oneness, like for points to be irrelevant. Unless I'm misinterpreting there.
No, I don't.
I mean, there's multiple interpretations, but
yeah, no, I think that's you're what right. I get from it. Like, yeah, I don't think he's like. I don't think he's saying like, now we have a reason to live. But he's saying like,
I think he's saying,
divorcing
yourself from those reasons is the reason to live, like to work toward not even needing to have a reason.
Right. And even questioning right and wrong seems futile sometimes. And I think he's kind of pointing that out, right? Like,
yeah. And morals are, you know, societal centric, like time centric, like, yeah, you can get into a whole argument of like,
yeah,
the constructs we built as individuals.
And I think part of his point here is that no matter how big we build, no matter how far we take our minds and understanding and how far we evolve or develop, like, it's almost totally impossible to like become smarter than the universe or more than it or in control of it, right? He's saying there's always a cosmos that's beyond whatever we can become.
And well, I think he's saying we're less a part of it by being individualistic, like
that too.
Which you can get, absolutely, you can get into like an argument against America for that too. Like,
yeah,
American society is very individualistic and like at the cost of others.
I mean, absolutely,
you can even see that within other communities in the on the world. Like, singularity seems like a better option, you know, like, or like having a more like one society.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting.
Yeah, I know. That's what I like about these grand lyrics is that they can be taken like, if you paint a big picture, you can like, you can zoom into it and find detail, I think, sometimes. Maybe not intentional, but you can like take a theory like that or what he's saying, and as you're doing, apply it to specific instances or actual real situations in reality and analyze it and say like, is it wrong to be so certain that we're right? Or is it wrong to be so certain that we're wrong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you could almost publish that as like a poem or something. Like, there's a lot of stuff to talk about there that's outside music and outside, you know, even his record and stuff.
Absolutely. And I think this, I'm glad we talked about this because this highlights like, I mean, I think most people would be surprised if they had a conception of black metal. And then I read those lyrics to them and told them that was like one of the best black metal songs I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if you were to listen to it, and I recommend you do, we'll have links. It's intense, fast, has huge climaxes. It's lots of screaming. It's very like, it's very wall of sound, cinematic, but there's texture and nuance to it. The song and the music is, I think, just as interesting and compelling as the lyrics.
Are the vocals like very audible in like the performance, or like does he
have
effect on them?
They're buried. They're like, you wouldn't be able to decipher what he's actually saying in any way.
Huh, interesting.
They're almost like a synth.
I wonder why he doesn't do them more prominently. Is that just a product of the genre?
It's product of the genre, whereas black metal is usually like, the screaming is usually like, almost like a constant wavelength, a constant sound, and then it's like buried in the sound, buried in the music.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really deciphering a human voice in that way. You're not recognizing like that someone's speaking or telling me something. It's more of like if someone was holding down keys on a keyboard.
Yeah. Like a vocoder type.
Exactly. Thing. It's an atmospheric sort of projection.
I mean, I guess I get that as a creative choice.
It's done quite often in black metal specifically. It is a creative choice. It's purely, I think, aesthetic or stylistic.
I wish he would do like, or people who spend that much time on lyrics, I wish they would write like, do a split where like there's an alternate version where it's very lyric centric,
because
that's like, I would listen to those lyrics, you know.
That is a cool idea, like same song, two different vocal performances.
Yeah, just do a split 7 with your record.
Sound Saga Sound Tip, when you write your next album,
Sound Saga
record
sound
it twice, just once with clean vocals instead of screamed vocals.
So you can I would listen
but
to
that's
that.
Actually a cool idea. I very few artists release the same music in different formats or different styles.
I mean, there is a tradition of that kind of in some music, like I guess Indian rock, where like you have a cutting room floor version or like a B-side version.
Right, yeah.
Usually it's not that drastic of a switch. Like sometimes it's just an acoustic version or like alternate lyrics or something like that.
And then slightly differently, you have remixes in electronic music that are quite common. Yeah.
And the Yeah Yeah Yeahs were actually great at that, where they did a bunch of dance remixes of their songs with different DJs and stuff.
Cool.
But that could be a cool thing. I'm surprised no one does that in the metal space, where like they do like, I don't know, like an R&B version of a metal song, or like,
I'm sure someone has, but it's just not like common or talked about.
It'd be cool if that were a more commonplace thing.
Man, that would be
Beans is like on his
Beans is part of this video. Well, welcome. Welcome, Beans. I don't know if he's on camera because he's pretty low to the ground, but...
I don't know what got him so excited.
You're talking about the black metal
talk, yeah.
Last thing I want to mention about the lyrics, I like the way they're written. They're just like... They don't really read like poetry or lyrics. It's just like he's just asking questions.
I get a poetry vibe from it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends on how you read it too. If I were to read it as it was a paragraph, it would feel less flowy. But like, you know, things like why did the first organic molecule copy itself? Like that's not like typical lyrical juice. It's just why did the first organic molecule copy itself? It's like a scientific question. But he's posing it in the context of like a bigger discussion.
Right.
But I like how literal he just states it.
But it totally makes sense with the theme. It's like he's asking that because like, was that a first act of individualism? You know, like stuff like that.
Like in 2001 when the primate or the ape or whatever it was, his first act of individualism was to take that bone and scare the other apes.
Yeah.
And then use it to kill one of them.
Yeah.
And of course that bone goes in the air and becomes a spaceship.
Right.
I mean, that's probably is that not the greatest transition in all of film, but like you can argue that.
Movie's got a lot going for it.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I see the same sort of like big narrative, like statements like that, like the bone going in the air, turning into the spaceship. That is such like a grand posit.
Yeah. It's a huge symbol.
Yeah. It's like, okay, whoa, you just said a lot. Let's think about this.
Yeah.
I get that feeling from this album.
Has he done a music video for any of his songs?
No. He has like a visualizer.
Okay.
Yeah. Typically in this like underground black metal space, you don't see much audiovisual video content to accompany the music. In fact, he's never played, as far as I know, any of his music live.
Okay.
So he's never played this live. He wrote this himself. He programmed the drums, for instance. Like it's all
right.
It's a one man black metal band.
That's so also interesting though, because like in the rock space too, it's like videos aren't as big as they used to be. Like in general.
Yeah, I see.
But like
that.
A lot of indie artists do take time to like make a video, even if it's with their friends or they film it themselves or something.
I'd say it's generally important just for like band cred and just free advertising, but. You're not going to make money on it.
No. It's nice to have.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, man, what you doing? Find myself a fine tiny wobble. I said, hey, man, what you doing? Find myself a snatch. I said, hey, man, what you doing? Find myself a big fatty tiny wobble. I said, hey, man, what you doing? Find myself a snack.